Blog Talk Radio.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy, evening TV. Did I get delivered here? Somebody tell me, please. The world.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there?
Not much, man. You know, just a typical Sunday evening. Glad to be back. You know, I haven't been doing the show for past couple of weeks because I've been sick, but by the grace of God, I'm feeling much better, and I'm back, and I'm ready to go, man.
Sounds good.
I know we got a lot of stuff to cover because we didn't get a chance to do this show for the past couple of weeks due to my aforementioned battling the cold. So, you know, I'm going to talk about Roadblock, talk about March Madness, what's going on with some upsets, you know, with basically Michigan State crushing and killing everybody's brackets. You know, we'll get into that. We'll talk about the current state of the Knicks, which has the current state of the Knicks for the past 16 years or so, basically. We'll get into that also. NFL news, NBA news, of course, you know, obviously with the Knicks and the other team and Warriors, you know, of course, trying to break Bulls' record from nearly 20 years ago.
And they're getting pretty close.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to also talk about Roadblock, WWE Roadblock, and, of course, the upcoming WrestleMania, and much, much more. But, you know, of course, I know you know the number, Mac, and the number is, of course.
It's 917-388-4189. Again, that's 917-388-4189.
So feel free to share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. And I want to thank you guys in advance for calling. And, of course, thank you for listening to this episode of Sports and Religion. Of course, he's Macaulay Matthew, and I'm William Rameau. And, yeah, man, let's talk about March Madness, man. And it's like I was mentioning, been some upsets, you know, with Yale, you know, this March Madness. And of course, you know, Michigan State, you know, the team, many teams, you know, many people, including myself, was, you know, pick, you know, to, you know, go into the finals game and lose to Kansas. Well, they didn't wait until Kansas. So basically they got eliminated in a shocking fashion.
Yep. Lost to Middle Tennessee. School that no one's ever heard of. And they got upset by them. Yep. I mean, some people consider Michigan State the second best team in this tournament behind Kansas.
Absolutely. Oh, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, but yeah, there's a lot of upsets. You know, you had Yale, Ivy League school, beat Baylor. You had, who was it again? I think it was Cal University, California. They got beat by Hawaii, you know. So you've had a lot of upsets like that, but you had, like, big teams like UNC and Kansas. They're looking good right now, you know. Looks like those two might go to the Final Four, so... But there's been a lot of upsets and surprises in this tournament so far.
Congrats to those teams, you know, advancing to the Sweet 16. So the dream lives on for those teams. And unfortunately for Yale and most notably Michigan State, their dreams are over.
Yep, short-lived.
So
right now... I was going to say that. So right now you got your Sweet 16. Well, actually, is it Sweet 16 or Elite 8? Sweet 16, right? Because this is your third round right now. So you have Kansas and Maryland. You have Miami, Villanova. You have Duke awaiting the winner of Oregon and St. Joseph. You have Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Gonzaga, Syracuse, Virginia State, Iowa State, Notre Dame and Wisconsin, and UNC against Indiana. So it should be a pretty good Sweet 16.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And who do you think will face Kansas in the finals now that you know, Michigan State is going.
Well, I'm picking UNC. I think North Carolina will be the team that faces them.
A good pick. You know, Roy Williams gonna, you know, get them where they need to be.
Yeah, looking good.
So you pick UNC to go against Kansas.
I think that'll be the championship matchup. Yeah,
both
teams are looking good right now.
So that was your pick when you were filling out the brackets?
No, I had Kansas against Michigan State, but Michigan State pretty much ruined everyone's bracket. So
yeah,
now I gotta go with UNC. Unfortunately, but no. It's still a pretty good matchup.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, potentially, if everything goes as planned, because like we've been mentioning throughout the show so far, yeah, Michigan ruined a lot of people's dreams, and a lot of people are definitely not going to win their pool.
Yep.
So.
A lot of people lost money.
a lot of people lost money. And if I was betting, I would have lost a lot of money too. But as long as I did pick Kansas to win. So if Kansas would have won, if I bet, you know, I still would have made some money. But not as much as I would have, you know, if Michigan State would have stayed in. But yeah, we'll definitely keep you posted on what's going on, you know, with the March Madness. Because it's definitely turning from March Madness to March Maddening, because a lot of people are pretty pre-old.
Oh, yeah.
But
still got three more rounds to go.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely exciting, for sure, to say the least. But switching gears, what's your thoughts on, the NFL free agent signings? You know, the Giants took Snacks, you know, away from the Jets, and you know, improved the defense. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I haven't been really well. I've heard the Giants make some moves as far as getting some, you know, the cornerback. I've been following what the Giants have been doing, but I haven't been really following what other teams have been doing lately, but. I know Giants made some, key moves. They got who they got? They got the cornerback from or the safety from St. Louis. I forget his name, but you know, he looks like he could be okay. But they gave him a lot of money, which I don't think he deserves, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the Giants feel that, you know, he's worth the money. Who else did they get? They got someone else.
Yeah, my mom is just giving me two for a reason.
Now I got to look it up now. Okay, yeah. So they got Janoris Jenkins. He's the guy they got from St. Louis. Then they got Olivia Vernon. They signed him to a 5-year, $85 million contract. He's also another guy that's, you know, I don't know, he's going to have to live up to that money. I mean, this guy's going to have to play incredible. They got him from, I think, the Dolphins. They got him. So he should help the pass rushing game, but is he worth the amount of money the Giants signed him to? I don't know.
Yeah.
This guy's gonna need to, you know, average 12, 13 sacks a season for him to live up to that contract.
Yeah, I agree with you. But it definitely shows, you know, Jerry Reese, you know, he the writing's on the wall, you know, he can't shoulder the blame with Tom Coughlin now, because, you know, Tom Coughlin stepped down as a head coach after his, you know, they shared an impressive run, you know, as the two guys leading the Giants to two Super Bowls, you know, in recent history. So now Jerry Reese, the writing's on the wall. You know, like that Sam Smith song from that James Bond movie. What's the name of the new movie that just came out? I forgot the name of the title for whatever. No, it wasn't Buffer. Spectre. Well, just like that, you know, the writing's on the wall for Jerry Reese, you know. He definitely has to – that's why I think he's shelled out the money, because, you know, the Giants have been you know, they definitely haven't been playing the way, you know, they need to be playing lately.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And they needed to improve on defense, which they did. Yeah.
They definitely did. And on the flip side, with the Jets, they did sign Matt Forte from the Bears. He didn't have a good season, but his worst season was Chris Ivory's best season. So, which he basically replaced him. So, I mean, I think it's a good signing, but most importantly, they need to re-sign Fitzpatrick because, you know, they got a ready-made team. You know, they got the wide receivers and Marshall and Decker, but you know they need a quarterback.
Yeah, and I hear Fitzpatrick is asking for a lot of money.
Yeah, they're right. From last time I heard, they're worlds apart. Fitzpatrick want to be paid, you know, the way he's been playing, you know, this season. But the Jets, they don't want to give him that money.
Right.
So, I don't know. They got to find a compromise somehow. Because
mm-hmm.
you definitely do not want to give the keys back to Geno Smith. It's like
yeah.
giving a teenager, you know, the keys to your car, you know. That's your baby. You know, the kid has to prove that he could handle, you know, the vehicle. And then if
yeah.
he proves himself, then you give him the keys. But they gave him the keys, and he's crashed the car many times. So
exactly.
They definitely need a veteran. They need to get a Jeff Gordon, you know, guy, or Dale Earnhardt Jr. type guy. Obviously, using you know NASCAR analogies for, you know football, but you know basically they need a veteran guy that could you know hopefully lead them to the promised land. I mean I know there's been rumors with Kaepernick. I mean he hasn't been playing as well as he was during that Super Bowl run. There was rumors about that around I think around the Super Bowl time or just after the Super Bowl that he wants out of you know. The 49ers, but those rumors have died down, him linking him with the Jets. So
I heard also RG3.
You know. Oh, yes, RG3 is another one, right. Because I heard he visited them, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? But nothing came about that. But I think that would be the same situation with Geno Smith, you know. But then again, RG3 had a better rookie year. You know, a much better rookie year than Geno Smith had. But, you know, they're both guys with a lot of potential, but, you know, you can't trust them to start, you know, to be your starting quarterback right now. So, the you know, the Jets, they definitely need a veteran guy. I mean, I don't think there's no better option. I don't think they'll trade for Kaepernick. Yeah, I just don't see any guy out there other than Fitzpatrick that will help this team hopefully get to where they need to be. So they gotta stop playing hardball and resign the guy. I don't know if McCagnan is following after Alderson's tactic to try to regain Yoenis Cespedes by basically playing hardball with a guy, you know, who had a good run with the team, with their respective teams, and see if they'll, because of their love of New York, you know, that they'll take a lesser offer and come back on a team-friendly hometown discount kind of deal. But that's remain to be seen. But, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, we have to see it right now. Fitzpatrick is driving a hard bargain, but I got to see what happens here if the Jets decide to give him that money. If not, then he'll be gone.
Yeah, and if he's gone, man, I know they didn't make the playoffs, but they were this close. If they would have actually played, if they would have actually showed up in Buffalo against Rex Ryan, you know, Rex Ryan's Bills, you know, they would have been in the playoffs because they had, you know, leading up to that, they were a team of destiny. They had the win in their end scenario, and they blew it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they end up not making it. So they need to rebound from loss and try to come back and hopefully win it all.
Yeah.
And to a team that won it all, you know, Peyton Manning officially retired, which we all knew he would. And, you know, congratulations to him. He was able to ride off into the sunset as a two-time Super Bowl champion. So good for him. And now his replacement is of another former Met, I mean, not former Met, former Jet, Mark Sanchez. And now he's the new quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how he performs. Cause last time we saw him, he was with the Eagles, and he had an okay season with the Eagles, but he's still prone to making mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Sanchez definitely has not rebounded from his first two seasons in the NFL when he led the Jets, thanks to the Jets' superior defense as well. They went to the AFC games, you know, back to back years, but unfortunately they lost both years and never recovered. And Sanchez hasn't recovered yet, even though he did have a good time. He did rebound his career in Philadelphia, but yeah, a lot of pressure replacing, you know, the legendary Peyton Manning over there. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. And basically, moving on with the Knicks. Knicks lost again. Stop me if you haven't heard this one again. But this time they lost to the Kings. I think what was the final score? 88-80.
Yep,
I don't remember. But you know, Knicks lose again. But this time at the Garden. They've been losing lately.
Yeah, this season has been done for a while now. So what else is new?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the only thing that new stuff that came out is that that rumor that surrounded Phil Jackson when he was with the Lakers many years ago, of him being partially being a home team coach and having somebody else coach the away team. Rumor has resurfaced, and possibly next year he would share the head coaching duties with his longtime assistant Kurt Rambis, basically making Kurt Rambis being the road coach, and he would be the home team coach, you know, for the 41 games. As we spoke about this off the air, we definitely don't see that happening. And Carmelo Anthony even shot down that rumor himself.
Yeah, I don't see it happening.
I don't think it's a good idea. I definitely don't see it happening. I mean, that would definitely be unprecedented for sure. Absolutely. I would prefer them go after Tom Thibodeau, you know, if they can't get him. Go after Van Gundy, if they can't get him, get Mark Jackson. You know what I mean? And if they can't get those three guys, then fine. I wouldn't mind seeing Phil Jackson coach. I would want him to coach on a full-time basis. But, you know, obviously he doesn't want to coach. You know, I definitely don't want to see Kurt Rambis as a head coach coming to next year. Maybe if the only way you could, I guess, kind of stomach it is if the Knicks are crazy enough to do this dual head coaching thing, which I don't see that happening. Maybe that would be the only way you could stomach Kurt Rambis as a head coach for the Knicks partially. But, yeah, it's a weird scenario. And
we definitely need someone better.
Yeah, I hope Phil Jackson will put his pride aside and actually hire Tom Thibodeau, because he's the best guy for the job. He's a defensive-minded coach. You know, he was a disciple of Van Gundy. you know, during the late 90s run. You know, he needs to, he would be perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
He'd be perfect for this team needs to, make defense a priority. They have, I mean, on paper, they have a decent team. I'm not saying that the Golden State Warriors or the Spurs or the Cavaliers. I'm not deluding myself, you know. I'm not fooling anybody or myself. I mean, even though obviously we're both diehard Knicks fans, but, you know, we're keeping it real. I mean,
yeah,
Knicks are nowhere near a championship, you know. And the top player, Carmelo Anthony, he's been battling what, knee injuries for the past couple of years. And, and I've been saying this for many years, man. The only way the Knicks could be a championship-caliber team is if Carmelo Anthony is like the third or fourth best option. But as you know, Carmelo Anthony has been the top guy on the team ever since he came over in that trade, you know, from Denver. Continue.
Oh, no, sorry. I was going to say that, yeah, they need to, this offseason, they need to add, you know, some more pieces to this puzzle, or just straight up trade Carmelo, you know, try to get something for him. You know, they have to do something.
Yeah, even he admitted that he doesn't know what he's going to do in this offseason because, you know, during the trade deadline, he admitted that he's going to stay here, you know, because there was rumors that he'd get traded to Cavaliers, which, you know, if I was him, I would have took the trade because, you know, he could add a shot at one title this year, you know. But, yeah, the offseason, he's giving the Knicks one more last chance, I assume.
Yeah.
See if they could get some people to come here, which, I don't know. Right now, it looks like Rondo's one of their top, you know, guys that they're going after. And Rondo's having a great year, last time I checked. So, I don't know. Well, I believe it when I see it. And Durant, he's not going to come here most likely. So, yeah, we're going to see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And quick Mets news. You know, Matt Harvey has been announced to start April 3rd against the Kansas City Royals. So, you know, Royals better get ready, man. Harvey's coming.
April
3rd. So you guys know, April 3rd, same day as the Walking Dead season finale. Mm-hmm. And WrestleMania. So I'm gonna be flicking to the channels, the web, and everything. I'm gonna be busy. Not going on. I'm gonna be losing my mind that day because I'm gonna try to absorb a lot of information and all that stuff. But speaking of WrestleMania, I'm trying to remember. Roadblock went through, and as we expected, nothing happened. Wasn't able to do a Roadblock prediction thing. Basically, that happened we would have got it right basically because nothing happened. Triple H is still the champion. Roadblock, I heard it was a good pair. I mean, well, I heard Triple H and Dean Ambrose match was good, but obviously nothing amounted to that.
Yeah, some of it. I didn't see all of it.
You saw the finale, right? You saw the title match?
Yeah, I saw the Triple H and Dean Ambrose match, of course, which was probably the best match of the night. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
Of course, we all find out that, you know, Dean Ambrose didn't win the title, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it still turned out to be the best match of the night, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dean Ambrose had a controversial call because his foot was on the ropes, was
mm-hmm.
underneath the ropes, and he would have clearly beat him if that was the case. But as you can see, everything is in place. Dean Ambrose will fight Brock Lesnar, and Triple H will face Roman Reigns, who now comes out like everybody else through the, you know, out of the, you know, gorilla position into the arena, you know, like everybody else instead of into the stands, which I think I've read some comments from people from, like, you know, wrestling stuff that they They think it's about time that he, you know, he stopped doing the Shield thing. But I thought that gave him his uniqueness.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool thing. You know, Sandman used to do it. And, you know, some other wrestlers used to do it as well. I thought it was a cool thing. It made him unique for him coming out of the arena. So for me personally, I would have kept it. But, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
On you're talking about the entrance?
Yeah, the Roman Reigns entrance now.
I didn't have an issue with it. I mean, I thought more could have happened. Actually, you know, during that whole Triple H match with Dean Ambrose, I actually thought that some other people were going to come out and interfere in that match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, I thought maybe some surprise people like The Rock. But none of that ever happened during that match. So I was a little surprised by that.
I assumed that would have happened too, even though I wasn't able to watch it because I was out that day. But I assumed that would happen too. But maybe, I guess they're saving that for WrestleMania, would be my assumption.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of that, you know, Sting, he's going into the Hall of Fame. You know, happy birthday to him. You know, today is his birthday. And, apparently I was reading something. He said he's officially not retired yet. But some people are, from what I'm reading, some people are thinking that he's going to save the official word until the Hall of Fame to officially announce it. But man, I hope the rumors of him retiring is false, because, you know, I'd love to see him, you know, face Undertaker, you know, for that match that WWE had the chance to give us last year, but they thought the match would be Triple H versus Sting. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that match happening. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing that match happen this year if they would have gave us Sting versus Undertaker. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
they botched that opportunity. And I hope, you know, Sting, even if he does retire, I hope he does interfere in the Shane McMahon versus Undertaker match. You know, maybe give Undertaker, you know, the Scorpion deadlock and the dead drop. You know, even though he can't fight, you know, at least have a few seconds, kind of like have what the NDLBO and DX interfering inside the match for like a few seconds, even though, you know, it's not really officially a match. You know what I mean? It would be interesting to see them interact in a match, you know, helping out Shane McMahon.
That would be nice. That would be nice to see him.
It'd be nice.
You know? I don't know. I mean, I think he might be retiring, you know, it looks like. I mean, he is getting up there, and he's past his prime, you know, so I think it might be time to wrap it up.
Yeah, excellent career. Unfortunately, you know, it ended suddenly, you know, a freak accident with Seth Rollins doing his patented powerbomb off the top rope. Cool move, but in hindsight, you know, probably should have made Sting counter it, but I would have never thought of that injury. I mean, it is a powerful-looking move, but, I didn't think it would make Sting suffer a potentially, you know, career-threatening injury similar to Edge. Was it spinal stenosis or something like that? So
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't end his career, but he's like, I think, 56 years old or 57 years old or something like that. So, yeah, it's pretty understandable if this is how his career, you know, this is really a career, you know, ending injury. Because, you know, most importantly, you don't want this guy to make a false move and injure himself and he's paralyzed for life, you know.
Yeah.
This guy has done enough in the, you know, in the business. You want him to walk on his own power. Even though me, you know, as a fan, I'd love to see him fight Undertaker. But if it doesn't happen, you know, I understand. You know, he has a family. You know, and you know, you don't want this guy to be paralyzed, so just wish him the best. And he's going into the Hall of Fame, give his speech, and I guess he might make his official announcement on April 2nd, one night before WrestleMania, whether or not he officially retires or not. And the class, the 2016 class, includes Jacqueline from the Attitude Era, the Fabulous Freebirds. You know, that faction from the 70s, you know, the NWA, I'm trying to think, Godfather, of course, from the Attitude Era. I'm trying to think who else is going in. Big Boss Man, finally going in.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good class. I know I'm missing somebody. I think they're going to, they haven't announced, I think they're thinking about maybe adding a celebrity. There's rumors it might be Regis. I can't remember who else they said might be a possibility. But I think I'm missing at least one more person who's going in this year. Can't remember who else they mentioned, but I think that's basically it.
Junkyard Dark?
But No, Junkyard Dark went in years ago.
Oh, right. You're right.
He's already in the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, so it's an interesting class to say the least.
April 2.
Yep, April 2, one night before WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely check that out, you know. And, yeah, we'll definitely keep the post on what's going on. So I want to thank you, Max, for coming on the show.
No problem.
Thank you. And I want you to check out another episode of Sports of the Legend. It's probably going to be Sunday at 11 again because I'm going to be busy on Saturday. So I want to thank you guys for listening.